The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol. Also joining us, what about this for a lineup? Mauro Melchior is with us, as is Stuart Robson, who looks like he's posing for his passport photo. Alessandro Del Piero with us as well. And we kick things off with a subject which, of course, we've started with over the last couple of days as well. Real Madrid's extraordinary comeback against Manchester City. 88 seconds, that brace from Rodrigo changed the whole game and the whole complexion of this competition. And boys, it's the first time we've had, in fact, all three of you on since that result. Alessandro, I've just got to start with you. It's why we love this game, isn't it? When you see something like this happen completely from left field, Manchester City were 99% favourites to go through going into injury time. It was something else.
Definitely was something unbelievable, to be honest. I was there for the quarterfinal against Chelsea. You feel the energy of the stadium. You feel how it's important for Real Madrid, the Champions League, how they are connect with this competition. And about the game, what can you say? I mean, to be honest, Man City was in control of the game. They missed the second goal, and then in really 87 seconds, everything changed. And that energy that is created in that stadium, the history of the club, the belief of the players, the vision of the coach, of course, helped them to go through this semi-final. I mean, it was something amazing.
Mario, what was striking, wasn't it, when Rodrigo obviously scored those two goals? Manchester City just looked absolutely done in the fact that they couldn't quite believe what was going on.
Yeah, they looked in a shock, and that's why I was even surprised as well, because I was on that side, you know, like Ali said, like, you know, you're looking at a game and you feel like they're almost there. They are there, kind of. And then you see that happen, that change so quickly. And then it comes a moment when you know that they had the extra 15 minutes. You know that the coach has to talk and motivate his players. But I felt like the tactical system, the way he had them set up, to change that in a way and say, like, guys, you got to be more open. You got to be more risk-taking. It was just, I mean, I can only compliment Real the way they set it up. You know, in the middle of the park, how they sat back and they gave them no space. You know, just the way they attacked them. Oh, man. For me, and I think for a lot of people that love football, this was a great game to watch.
Robbo, with your tactical hat on, you look at this and really, could have Guardiola done anything different? Wasn't this just kind of from the gods?
I would say a little bit. I was surprised when he took Mahrez off, and the way they reacted when he took Mahrez off, as if we've won the game and everything's okay, and they sort of went about their job. Grealish came on that left-hand side, had a couple of chances, so that was a good substitution. Had he taken that, you know, Man City would be two goals up. But the one thing that I've seen over three games in particular, that Man City, when they've been put under real pressure, haven't coped. There was the game against Atletico Madrid when they actually got through but didn't play well in the second leg and they were put under a lot of pressure. They didn't like the physical contact. They didn't like the physicality of Atletico Madrid. They didn't play very well against Liverpool in the semi-final of the FA Cup when Liverpool got in and around them and played at a great tempo. And in that last 10, 15 minutes, they didn't cope with balls into the box. The two centre-halves, I thought, were better than they showed on the last 15 minutes where they didn't win headers and they didn't be first to the ball.
Ali, of course, brought up the point that Real Madrid have this incredible romance with the European Cup and, of course, now the Champions League. And certainly, you take a look over the last decade, they have outperformed pretty much everybody. They will go into their fifth Champions League final in the last nine seasons, including this one, of course, coming up against Manchester City in Paris. They keep defying the odds. They keep beating everyone who still thinks that it's going to be the opposition who go through. This is what Pep Guardiola had to say about how history affects Real Madrid in this competition.
We're close. Madrid has done it not many years. They have this belief, you know, for the history, the past, for the incredible players who are there on the pitch doing that. And the players can be later they feel they were there, the Stefanos and Puskas and Raul and Benzema and Cristiano and Higuain. And all the strikers have done it, that Rodrigo knows I have to do it because they have done it. And this is part of that. They will fight against that. And that is part of the tactics and every important part. And we handle it as much as possible. We could play better, yeah. We could have did more, yeah. But it's not easy.
This rhetoric, it always interests me, Robbo, because like, look at Chelsea last year when they won the title. They haven't got like a big pedigree in the Champions League history. Yet it seems to be brought up genuinely by managers and players alike that because what Real Madrid have done in the past, it affects those players going into these big matches. Does it really?
It must do, because this season, I don't think Real Madrid are anywhere near the best two sides in the competition. But when they were up against it against PSG, they came back from nowhere. They came back against Chelsea, and they came back in this game against Man City. So they must have some sort of belief. The crowd have got belief that they can go on further in the tournament. The players have belief. The manager must have belief, because for long periods, they looked dead and buried in this game. So I absolutely agree with Pep Guardiola. There must be something in the makeup and the history of Real Madrid that gives them that confidence going into these games.
Mario, you of course grew up in the Ajax Academy when they were one of the most successful clubs in the world. A great relationship they have with this tournament as well. Is it kind of ingrained in the DNA of a club like Ajax as it is at Real Madrid, where you just expect that something special?
Yeah, you know, look, when we look at the game, the only downside what we sometimes have is that as a team of Ajax, we always want to win the game very beautiful. And I think that can sometimes play against us. But the Real Madrid, that team now, just the way he prepped them, you know, like if you hear the story of Ancelotti, the way he brought videos into the dressing room, or even if he had it before the game, but he at least he showed his team of how they had the resilience of coming back into the game and winning the game. If you show that to your players and it really affects them, and he kept on doing it, and look at it now, you know, they play a game and all the chips were down, nobody expected them to win, and then you see them rise to the occasion in a way that the confidence was so high, in the sense of that they had the belief that we can do this. And I think when you have that in your team, it doesn't really matter. Like sometimes you have a captain in a team, right, that has to motivate everybody. But if every individual just believes that they can turn the tie around, come on, then you just keep on going to the last minute. And I think that's what they did. And Man City didn't have that.
You think that your Liverpool team back in the day, Stevie, kind of had that mental strength as well?
Yeah, and I think obviously the Bernabeu has a lot to do with it, as has Anfield. But I can only tell you that at Liverpool, it was about the players that had gone before us. And when you play for a historical club, there are always historical names. And when you come after them, as much as anything else, you're trying to fill their jersey. You're trying to fill their boots. You don't want to be the one that has turned a historical, successful team into a bunch of also-rans. And so there are so many things pushing you forward. But obviously the big one is playing at home.
Yeah, that, of course, making a big difference, as we've seen, of course, throughout this tournament. Alessandro, you look at it, and from a Manchester City perspective, when Real Madrid start to get that momentum and you start to hear the crowd get on their side, if you're a City player, does that get your head?
Yeah, I think, the main thing in that game is change switch completely when they score the first goal. In that moment, when the Real Madrid draw, something changed. And this has happened often in Madrid, especially, you know, with Real Madrid, but especially at Bernabeu. So when you got hit twice in that way, in the last minute of the game, I mean, obviously you are shocked. It doesn't matter how much experience you are. I mean, you're shocked. That we saw after in the extra time that they weren't quite able to perform any kind of situation danger for scoring a goal. Even on the other way, they conceded also the third goal on the penalty. So it's very tough play those 30 minutes, to be honest. I don't blame Man City players or the coach for those 30 minutes. It's very tough. What Man City missed was the first game when they play home. That game should finish 5-2, and that would change completely the return game.
What's interesting when you take a look at the start of the Champions League and you go through the history of it over the last 30 years, it's very rare that the favourites go on to win it. Manchester City, of course, regarded as one of the best teams in the world, still can't get over the line. You think back to your Juventus side, Ali, which, of course, we're in that same conversation, the early 2000s, the talent that was on that pitch, and you as well, I suppose. You looked at it and you thought, well, this should be a team that's dominating Europe. And after you beat Ajax, obviously, those three defeats in the final, against Dortmund, against Real Madrid, and then against Milan. Why is the Champions League different in that sense, where it isn't necessarily the best team in the world that goes to win it?
Yeah, how can I answer this question, to be honest? I mean, we got the chance to win the Champions League when we were, you know, underdog, because we played against Ajax that they just won the year before. And then we approached the other Champions League final with a big advantage. I mean, two of them, we literally give it away, to be honest. But this is the thing when you play one single game that important. In this competition, we are going to see in the final probably the two teams that play definitely the most finals, and they win most of them. They have a high percent of winning. So it's very unpredictable also what's going to happen, you know. When you go in the final, I remember when I went to Cardiff, you know, we were talking about with some Real Madrid players, Sagado and other players, and said, we're going to win easily because Real Madrid in the final win. Doesn't matter. On the other side, as a Juve fan, I would say, well, it's kind of right if I see the numbers. Because also on the other side, Juve lost more than the one that the win. So it's tough. It would be exciting, by the way, because I believe that these two teams are absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be a ridiculous final. When you take a look at it, Robbo, overall, is it just history? Is it that simple?
How the final, the outcome of the final takes place? I don't think that's the case this season. I think we've got one magnificent team in Liverpool. Who have got everything you want from a side in terms of energy. They can play balls in behind, they can play balls into feet, they can defend well, they hold a high line, so there's chances for the opposition maybe to get in behind them, but Alisson sweeps up. And then you've got Real Madrid, who I still don't think are a great side, but they've got great belief. And that's got to be the who's going to win out of those two? The team with the great belief or the great team, Liverpool, as they are at the moment.
Mario, that's the thing, isn't it? We've got plenty of time to look ahead to the final. But this belief that Real Madrid have, and of the great teams in the past that have had as well, it's something I imagine that's just, it's impossible to kind of coach, to put into these players. It's either there or it isn't.
Yeah, but look, as a team, like, we know Real has that, but Liverpool has a strong belief as well. And what the key thing is for both teams is that I don't expect this to be a game that is going to be about defenders, right? That you're just going to sit back and wait and wait and wait. Those are two teams that want to take control. And the only way to take control is if you have the ball and dominate the play. So that's why, for me, like, watching that final, it's something that we've been waiting for, because we can have two English sides against each other when we were talking before and thinking like, oh, two teams, yeah, but it's just a top Premier League game. But now we got a Spanish side and an English team. And, you know, the rivalry is not only club. The rivalry goes beyond that. It sometimes goes to country too. And I love that.
Yeah, of course, that's kind of what you want. England will take on Spain, of course. Two representatives from the Premier League are in the semi-finals, two from La Liga. Villarreal, of course, losing in the end against Liverpool after that comeback in the second leg. But Ali, you look at it, you were at the Juventus game for Villarreal as well. Yeah, is that right? We got a picture. I don't know why we're showing a picture of you at the Villarreal game. There you are, well done. there it is.
Yeah. That must have been before the game.
That was before the match, yeah, I assume.
Yes, I mean, I was telling you, let's sign me straight away, after the season ending, but they prefer for the next season, so they approach Juve without me.
Yeah, exactly. You take a look at Liverpool, Ali, and it's the same sort of conversation, isn't it? That belief that they had in the second half, that they had the quality to hit back at Villarreal, despite, of course, losing those two goals going into the second half. That belief that Klopp has instilled in this team makes them one of the best in the world.
Definitely, yes. There's two things that I want to say about the game. You can clearly see even in the first half that Villarreal spent a lot of energy to achieve the 2-0, and Liverpool didn't make one good thing during the first 45 minutes. But the second half represents how mature is this team and which level they reach. So if they switch on, I mean, they are super dangerous, and they know that. And the mentality also of the club, of the history of the club, and the connection with Klopp. Because, I mean, he's talking a lot about this special relationship with the players. He's showing the special relationship with the players, with the club, with the community. So Liverpool is a special place, is a special club, for sure. And we can say the same things about Real Madrid, because also Ancelotti talked about family. But Real Madrid is not only family, is amazing champions and history as well. But on the other side, a truly passion for what they call camiseta, because everybody wear that camiseta. Everybody wear from the first fan to the last that play in the game. So they are really in common that. And this is something that we can find as well in Liverpool. So it's very balanced, this kind of final.
What's interesting is the run-up to the final, very different, of course, Robbo. Liverpool still pushing for the league title. Real Madrid are done and dusted. So how do you play that from both sides' perspective? Liverpool have to keep going, pretty much, of course, right until the finish line to push City as far as possible. From Ancelotti's point of view, how do you try and keep everybody fresh, but, of course, not push them over the edge?
Well, first of all, he doesn't want injuries. He wants his best team to play against Liverpool, so he's got to be careful how they train. He might play them every other week from now to the end of the season, or every other game from now to the end of the season. As you said, they've won the title. They've got the Madrid derby coming up, where I'm sure he put out a strong side. But it's a chance for some of the squad players to show that they're worth. Remember, Valverde was nowhere near the team for quite a while, but over the recent weeks, because he got a chance in one or two of the La Liga games, he then proved that he was a good asset to play in the Champions League, and he's now become part of the team. So I think he has to get it absolutely right, Ancelotti. He doesn't want to play them every week. He doesn't want to play them at high intensity all the time, but every so often in their training and in their games, they've got to play at high intensity so they're ready for Liverpool. And Liverpool, I would say, they've got the bigger problem, because they've got to play well week in, week out to try and win the Premier League. And if they get one or two injuries, or they're tired, and that can happen in the last game of the season in the Champions League, that's when they might have a problem.
Yeah, Mario, it's a cliche, isn't it? Every game is a final between now and the end of the season. But for Liverpool, it quite literally is.
Yeah, but they want to be in that situation. If you ask any individual, they look, for us to recover is the moment when we're on holiday. But they're not on holiday, so they want to play every game. If they can win the league, and now we're talking about the Champions League, if they can win that, it's incredible, right? If you put that on your list, like, okay, they know how it feels because they won it before, but still, just for them to be there and look, if you look at it, just highlight one player, let's say Mane, won the African Nation and now he can win the Champions League and then win the league, then they still have the FA Cup to go. So they can literally have so many trophies that they can go after, you know, say that's what you guys are highlighting too. And I think that's, as an individual, you want to be part of that. And that's why I heard other coaches say, like, oh, we are not playing now, we have a week off. Well, when it's really busy, they complain sometimes. And when it's really quiet, they go, like, I want to play. So that's why now, if you look at the schedule, I look forward to seeing this, you understand? Because how is he going to play? We know what Casemiro did, you understand, in the first game, in the last game, I mean, against, you know, he was lucky to be on the pitch sometimes. But it doesn't matter, you know, because they had to balance the middle of the park really well, Madrid. But now they're playing Liverpool. How are they going to do that with Salah and Mane being the fast players and see what they're going to do if Diaz comes on? I'm looking forward to seeing that and what Trent Alexander is going to do against Vinicius. I want to see that speed too.
I think Liverpool are in a great spot.
Because you just keep going.
Because you just keep going. Listen, the one thing that you're scared of, or Klopp will be scared of, is injuries. But after that, you know, the squad they have right now is capable of playing at full throttle between now and the last kick of the ball in the Champions League final. Klopp can make five and six changes right now in league games. Or play people for an hour and then make those five changes. Or start the game making the five changes and then bring players on. And as a footballer, I would absolutely 100% rather have to keep a level up for a period of time, was it 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah.
As opposed to Ancelotti is going to be sitting going, right, what do I do with Benzema? do I play him an hour, or do I bring him on, or what do I do, or what do I do with this guy? I think for me, he's got the tougher job because he's got to think more about it. Klopp's got to win games, but he knows he can win games by making changes. Mm. I think that's a great place to be in.
But
go out and play.
But Stevie, I'll go back to when you were playing, and I presume you played in that final against Wimbledon, when you were playing and trying to win the league, and you were playing right up to that final game against Wimbledon.
No,
and
it was
probably a game too far, and the players weren't quite, they weren't as sharp as they should have been, and couldn't raise their game for that match.
I'm sorry, Robbo. No, we won the league a couple of weeks before the final.
Right.
Maybe three. And we had no legs for the final.
Right.
We went too far the other way. We didn't do our training properly. We didn't play the games leading up to the final properly, or the league games, because we'd already won the league. And so we'd lost that sharpness and that extra little bit of thing in our legs, which is why we got beat. Because we couldn't play our normal game because we had just lost the edge.
Why is Robert bringing up Wimbledon? It's not very nice, is it?
Well, these things happen.
Alessandro, which would you prefer? Would you prefer to be in Liverpool's position where you have to go out there and win every game, or Real Madrid where you can rest?
Liverpool position. Yes. Liverpool position, because you keep your level of determination, attention super high. Yeah, you can go emotional if you lose games, if you lose the league, if you lose the FA Cup final, but if you bring that energy, even if you lose it, and you put it on the Champions League final as a revenge of what's going on, it would be amazing. And to be honest, I mean, arriving after 3 weeks of kind of, I don't want to say relaxing time, enjoying the leagues and this amazing semi-final, I don't see a great position.
Just a reminder then, one of those finals is literally a final. It's the FA Cup final. Liverpool taking on Chelsea, that game live on ESPN Plus. Also, Extra Time is available on our YouTube channel. You can check that out over on the website. Oh, I did the wrong way around. It is the final then. Chelsea against Liverpool, May the 14th, ESPN Plus. And be sure to join us from Wembley.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Action in Italy today. Inter with a 4-2 victory over Empoli. You think, oh, fair enough, good. League leaders, of course, no problem. They were 2-0 down with 5 minutes to go in the first half. They, though, responded in style to put them 1 point clear of Milan. Milan, of course, still, though, to play this weekend. It is a league title race that will go right down to the wire. But I tell you what, Robert, Inter made hard work of this.
They certainly did. They were 2-0 down, as you just mentioned, and Empoli were counter-attacking well. Inter weren't defending particularly well. They were creating chances, but not taking them. They had a penalty that was given and then taken away from them, which was quite rightly taken away from them. And it looked as though they were struggling. The crowd were beginning to turn on them. It was a great crowd turned out, great atmosphere inside the stadium. But two excellent goals from Lautaro Martinez, an own goal by Romagnoli, and then later on Alexis Sanchez scored. But overall, I think they had something like 37 shots, as you can see there, and Empoli only had four, so they dominated the game. But it was a worrying time during that first half because they just couldn't score the goals.
Meanwhile, we saw Juventus lose 2-1 against Genoa. Of course, a big result for the hosts as they're looking to escape relegation. Juventus fine, though, Alessandro. Of course, they're going to qualify for the Champions League. Let's focus on the title race. Who's going to win it?
Well, what can I tell you? I mean, I was pretty sure that Inter was on top because they have a game in hand and, from my point of view, the better players, and I'm talking not only the first 11, but also the bench that can replace. But last week, when when Milan won at the last second in Rome against Lazio, something changed, you know? Mm. And all of a sudden, Milan now has a chance, and they believe it from day one, and they have the strength to go till the end, because when you constantly find a goal in the last minute, and with that kind of quality, by the way, because Tonali controlled the ball in front of the goalkeeper instead of try a first touch in somewhere, I mean, that's something special from my point of view. So it's very unpredictable. Everything can happen, because I was wrong a week ago. So if I tell you now that Milan has a chance, maybe it's going to change another week. So,
who do you want to win?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I think Milan started 2 years ago with Maldini in the club, a different kind of policy, different than everything else. They live by zero Donnarumma. They can earn, 70, 80 millions, because they don't want to match his expectation. They did the same with Çalhanoğlu, and they show a very strong mentality, like the old Milan, the Milan that won everything, when I remember very well, unfortunately. So, so when you have that kind of strain inside the club, and you match with a good coach, because he's a really good man and he's doing an amazing job, on the other side, try to bring the right player in the right position. I mean, I'm talking about, for example, Tomori. He didn't play in UK for a while, and now he's probably the best defender that we saw in Italy the last season. And at the same time, this kind of mentality inside the club with the bigger guy that, like Ibrahimovic, put himself at the service, you know. I mean, I'm here. Whatever you need, I'm here. You want me as a bad guy, as a good guy, as a brother, everything, I'm here, but I want to win. So showing also that kind of mentality, that is a combination really, really dangerous. And they show you that combination, to be honest. They show that energy. They show how potential they are. And now the destiny is their hands.
Next up for Inter, of course, Coppa Italia against Juventus. But let's talk Champions League once again. And from an Italian perspective, it was another very disappointing competition when you look at the fact that no one really made any inroads. When you look at the Champions League, and yes, I know that Roma are in the, what's it called? I can't even remember the name of the competition.
Conference
League. You can't use that as an argument to support why Italian football is coming back. How much of a concern is there, Alessandro, within the country that we're in a situation again where we're talking Champions League and Italian teams are nowhere near?
It's a consequence of what we've been doing in the last 10, 15 years. You know, I mean, I'm talking a large scale. I'm talking about clubs, national team. Yeah, we had this amazing parenthesis last summer when we won the Euro Cup, and all deserved by the players, by the coach. But to be honest, this result that you just show and the two missing World Cup qualification for the national team, it's pretty obvious that something is wrong. And something big is wrong. I mean, we don't have even a youth system that recreates the talents. We need to bring all the time talent from outside, not from Italian talents. And every club facing this stuff. And back in the days, you know, we had several problems with the stadium. Nobody owns the stadium. Only three teams in Serie A, four teams own the stadium. So you cannot build something different. Most of the club doesn't have a proper training center. Something that you compare with the big in Europe. And this is, you're going to pay that bill at some point. And they're going to pay. You're going to pay in the mentality. They're going to pay in the quality of players. Now everybody wants to go to Premier League for different reasons. Mm. Because you have the best teams, of course. And if it's not Premier League, you go to Spain. And on the other side, you have Bayern in Germany. And now Paris in France. So we don't have the same power there before. Economics power, talent power, and mentality power.
Now, normally, Ali, you would look at it and kind of think that it's a cyclical situation. You think back to when you were playing the 2000s, that was all about Italy. People wanted to go to Italy, that's where they get the best exposure, and that's where they get paid the most. Is that going to happen again, or is the Premier League just going to keep this striding along and becoming the dominant force, not only on the pitch, but economically as well?
I have to take a big, big decision in terms of global movement, from my point of view, global movement in football. And I'm talking about the youth system, I'm talking about developing new structure and change a little bit of the mentality, recognize that we are not the best anymore, and see what happened around the world, and see who is the best, and try to catch from them the best situation. In the meantime, we have amazing coaches that go around. Look at Ancelotti. He's still the best coach, one of the best coaches in the world, and he's not coaching in Italy. So it's it doesn't match. I mean, so take a big courage step to go there, and have to be made by everyone. Club first. And then a national team.
Ali Moreno joins us. Ali, I've been ignoring you for a while. I promise you that wasn't my fault. We'll blame producer Mike. Looking at the fact that obviously you had two Premier League teams and two La Liga sides as well, is it fair to say that's where we're at? They're the first and second best leagues in the world and everyone else is playing catch up?
It would seem to be the logical assumption, and I think the other way that you can look at this, and Alessandro just alluded to it, if you're a big-time player, where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? And usually that elite-level talent is going either to the best teams in the Premier League or the best teams in Spain. They're not choosing to go to Italy, they're not choosing to go to Bundesliga, they're not choosing to go in other places. So it seems like if indeed the best talent is telling us, you know what, we prefer to go to the Premier League, we prefer to go to La Liga, I think it says a lot as to what the perspective of those players is and what they think is going to be the biggest platform for them to be able to succeed.
Mario, it's interesting. Son, go ahead. No, I thought someone was going to say it anyway. I'm hearing things. Mario, you look at it, and what's interesting, though, as much as you look at the power of the Premier League and the money that they have and where they are marketing-wise, maybe ahead of others, you take Manchester City and Liverpool out of that league, like, even your boys, they're not tearing up trees. There isn't that big a gap if you take those top two out, but, of course, that's a big if.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, the financial reason, we just have to be honest. I mean, you guys talked about it already. The financial reason of the movement, what England has now, is just the advantage. And I think when you look at countries, I come from, of course, from Holland. That's the only country where we have to always create our own talents to be able to compete with the likes of what we just mentioned and talked about. So I think the only way for you to compete and stay alive in these situations like that, it has to be because you have to keep some of your homegrown talents in your country. And the only way to do that is you have to either afford something or give them something that keeps them there. And I think then when you go to England, look how many English players don't want to go abroad. There's really a small number of English players that go to another country. Like even when I came there, some of the guys were like, it was just different mindset. French league. I played 1 year in France. I walk into the dressing room and the players ask me, why are you here? And I looked at them and I go, why are you here? I want to play football. They go, no, but we all want to be in England. How long did it took me to play in France? 1 year. I wanted to go straight back to the Premier League. And I did. But that's what I'm saying. So that's why life is different. You know, everybody wants to be in England. And there's a reason because of that, because that league is very competitive. Even if we get the financial side, also look at the competitive level of it. And I think that is what, like what Ali said, you know, in Spain, yeah, of course. Real Madrid, Barcelona, who doesn't want to play for them? In Italy? Yeah, if you call the top boys, like now you see Inter going and Milan going at it. Yeah, but there is more you have to do. Keep your homegrown talents at home and make them want to stay home. And they can. The countries that can do that is the ones that are having it very difficult.
Why are you here, Mario? That's what Robbo hears everywhere in life, wherever he goes. Robbo, looking at this, it's about the Premier League, isn't it?
Well, it's about the Premier League, but I'll go back to Ali's point that he made a little while ago. the reason that Italy aren't producing good players, their youth system isn't good enough anymore. I do a lot of youth team football, and the two countries that are still dominating, you, or three countries dominate, France do very well at youth level, England are producing players now, and so is Spain. But Italy isn't producing players anymore. Their youth sides don't do particularly well. They don't seem to develop until they get to 20. So where's one big problem? You've got to start developing your youth players to make them top world-class players. And at the moment, Italy aren't doing that. Spain are, and maybe England's beginning to do it, and France has done it, but France then lose their players to the Premier League.
Just to wrap this up, let's see what old Del Piero's former teammate and friend has been saying about how they could change things in the Scudetto, saying the Serie A format should change. For example, there would be more suspense and unpredictability by introducing playoffs. It would be an extraordinary event which would attract millions of fans. However, new things are scary, and in the end, nothing happens. He wasn't saying this when you're winning 8-9 in a row, Ali.
Because now he's fourth in the table, he can say that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Do you like this idea?
I mean, I'm really conservative in the way that the league is going on, to be honest, in Europe. I really like the format that is now. Playoff, still an amazing format. I don't get me wrong, but, you know, the tradition and become a lease for the league that you are playing in this way is very romantic, is very cool from my point of view. Plus, you have a relegation, so you have different things going on. This year, I mean, the run for Scudetto was amazing. Till 2 weeks ago, even Napoli were involved. So it was great. I don't believe that much in that one. We have already the Champions League that is amazing in terms of emotions. And it's special because of that. So you need to a little bit balance from my point of view.
Playoffs, Stevie.
I tell you what, I guess he hasn't been talking to his mate Bonucci. Because a couple of weeks ago when Italy got knocked out, he didn't like the playoff format. Right? So I guess the two of them are no talking.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, the playoffs, absolutely. You look at MLS, it's all about MLS Cup.
Right.
And so you end up with a situation, you've got two teams recently. The first one was LAFC, 4 years ago, who were head and shoulders above everybody else. They were absolutely, no question, by far the best side in MLS. But they don't win MLS Cup, so nobody even remembers.
Yeah.
You got the refs from last year, same situation. From the start of the league to the end, they dominated it, easily the best side. But in the end, nobody even remembers them. It's just about a cup competition. So is that what you want? You turn the league into a cup competition?
Right.
No, not for me.
Hey, Ali, you won all your medals in cup competitions in the playoffs.
I can tell you that I would have won even more medals had there been no playoffs. So my team's won 4 supporter shields. So I'm just telling you, that's a factual information. What I can say is, again, talking about what Stevie just mentioned there, is that you lessen and diminish the importance of the regular season and of each and every one of those games. So those games don't mean nearly as much. And over the course of 38 games, it would be in Serie A, since you have 20 teams, you're going to have to play a regular season of 38 matches. Those games are not going to mean a whole lot individually, because in the end, what you want to be is part of the dance. You want to get into the playoffs so that you have the same opportunity to win as the team who for 6-7 months was the best team in the league, and yet they enter a playoff competition having, again, the same opportunity to win as the other team who's limping into the playoffs. That doesn't seem right. I don't like it. I don't think you want to lessen and diminish the importance of regular season matches. You do not want to take away from the competition. Leave it as is.
Mario, you've lived in America for long enough. You must love this idea.
No, I want it just straightforward the way it is. You understand? If you don't make it, you're out. That's my philosophy. That's the way I grew up. I don't need too much playoffs. Yeah, the league below us, I always said, okay, they can have it, but the ones that I played in, no, I never liked it. So I will never support too much playoff stuff.
It has been a busy week in the world of football, isn't it? To keep up to date with all the latest news, be sure to go over to our YouTube channel. Plenty of content there for you to enjoy. And don't forget to subscribe. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. In case you missed it this week, Christian Pulisic's dad took to Twitter and put out this. The sad thing is he loves the club, teammates and London, puts his heart and soul into being a pro. Onwards and upwards, my boy. Big 6 months ahead. He since deleted that tweet. Thomas Tuchel was asked about it today and he said, "I'm not concerned if the player's father says he does not love me. As ever, we have our reasons to choose our lineup, and at this level, you will never see happy faces when not selected. Between me and Christian, we have zero problems." Alessandro Del Piero, I was wondering if your father ever thought it was necessary to talk to maybe Fabio Capello about whether or not you were playing?
No, he didn't say one word about that, at least on Twitter.
How would you feel if your father's getting involved in these situations?
Embarrassed. Truly embarrassed.
That's the thing, isn't it?
I'm an old man. I mean, even if I'm 18, 19 years old, I have my journey, and I have to discover my journey with the coach and understand what's going on and facing him, and in order to grow. And even further away, when you're 25, 28, there's a lot of experience coming up and other new challenges. So you need to face him, at least with him, face to face. Then, of course, the support of the family, wife, or whatever it is, friends, yeah, it's always good. But you don't have to be surrounded by yes men. You need to be surrounded by people that really loves you and tell you, well, you this game, you didn't play well. And this happened to me, you know, family member or somebody that told me like this. And I was kind of angry the first time, but then I say, well, let me have a look. And they were right. So you need to go forward. The beauty of football is you create a team, and the coach is one of the leader, the first leader, by the way. So you need to deal with him. There's no other question. And you need to deal with your teammates. And that kind of relationship is only on you and the time that you spend inside the team, not on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, whatever it is. And not belong to anybody else outside you.
This isn't a good look, is it, Mario?
No, definitely not. You know, when you look at a team like Chelsea, the way Tuchel handled it, look what he did to Hudson-Odoi when he put him on, he took him off because he didn't like something. Just the way he handled the situation with Lukaku. Look, things like this doesn't strike managers anymore. You know, at that high level, you're always going to have emotional sides of, like Alexander said, you know, parents, you know, wives, girlfriends, whoever is involved. You don't want them to speak out for you, especially when in the early days when I came in England, you would be really, they would joke about it. If they would find that out, they would put you in a dressing room and make crack jokes on you and say like, hey, dude, do you got something to say at home? Or is it just other people that are talking for you? Nowadays, it's maybe slightly different because we got social media. Didn't have it at my time when I kicked off. But I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's good that your dad is emotional and he should tell you personally what it's about. I mean, I've been raised by my mom, and my mom told me a lot of, you know, tough stuff. But then away from that, I will do the talking. And I would also say to my mom, please don't ever talk to my coach because That's not what I want, because what are you going to do now? You want to say, you want to play football for me now? No, I don't want that. So I would say, like, no, don't let your parents speak for you.
Robbo, when you were coaching, I imagine you would have dealt with it well, wouldn't you, if a parent came to you and suggested how you should change things?
Well, I had it on one occasion where I was actually coaching in the game, and it was an FA Youth Cup game, and I'd left somebody off the team, and he wasn't in the squad. And as I was coaching, the parent came onto the side of the pitch and started asking me why he wasn't in the side while the game's going on. It wasn't a great sight. And you had to sort of usher him back off without sort of getting in an argument with him. So it does happen. You know, you want the support of your parents. Of course you do. And you ask their advice. But you certainly don't want them embarrassing you. Alejandro said the word embarrassing. That's exactly what it is for Pulisic.
But Ali Moreno, you look at it. Is it that big a deal, really? It's just the dad looking out for his kid.
It's a dad loving his kid, I suppose, but there are better ways to love your kid. Give him a hug, okay? When he's feeling down and out, give him a hug, all right? Cheer him up if you want to. Otherwise, if I'm Christian Pulisic, I'm going straight to my dad and say, Dad, come here. Give me your phone. Give me your phone for a second. No, I just need your phone for a second. I will delete that Twitter account, and then I will smash his phone and step on it and throw it away. And say, do not ever, 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 ever get involved in my career when it comes to exposing me like this. You're doing me no favors. You're actually making it worse for me, Dad. I love you. Stay away from this sort of nonsense.
The Liverpool dressing would have received that well, wouldn't they?
Oh my goodness, you're absolutely slaughtered. Actually, yeah. if his dad had sat down and thought, right, how can I embarrass Christian?
Right.
That would have been the best way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a fine line between encouragement and embarrassment. And it actually happened to me as well, at the Revolution.
Really?
In a hotel foyer. Parents of, I won't name the player because he was embarrassing enough, but the parent walked up to me and introduced himself and then said, oh, by the way, have you ever thought of playing so-and-so? And I just went, no, and walked away. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
It's just incredible. I mean, as I said, if you wanted to embarrass a kid or a player,
right,
if you're his dad, that's the way to do it.
Thank you very much, guys. Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast is available on the website. Jules very excited about Kareem the Dream. Gab, meanwhile, excited about Seattle Sounders.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Special celebrations then for the Sounders, of course, becoming the first MLS side to win the CONCACAF Champions League in the modern era. Everybody soaked in champagne. Ali Moreno still with us. Ali, for those maybe who don't follow this that closely, how big a deal is this?
It's gigantic. For MLS and MLS headquarters and the whole big picture of MLS, for years upon years upon years, Major League Soccer has compared itself regionally with Liga MX. And so the barometer, the thing that would make you feel like you are trending in the right direction, the inflection point would be beating a Liga MX team in CONCACAF Champions League. And there's been many of opportunities where MLS team have had a chance to win CONCACAF Champions League, and they have come up short time and time and time again against Liga MX team. And so it was always sort of, yeah, you're growing, yeah, you're getting better, but you're still not good enough to beat the Mexican teams. And so for the Seattle Sounders, for Major League Soccer, and the bigger picture of what it means. This is indeed a turning point for MLS in terms of perception. In terms of what's going on the field, that's a different story, and that's a conversation we can have at a different time. But in terms of perception, validation, vindication, and just overall feeling as to what MLS is trying to do with this league, it feels like it's a huge moment in them saying, yeah, we're getting better, and now the results are following as well.
Is MLS getting better or Liga MX getting worse?
Well,
am I allowed to ask that? We're getting
trouble.
It's a fair
question. Sebi's
going to burst through the door.
It's a fair question, and I think it's a little bit of both. You cannot argue that the resources available now to MLS, and Stevie would know this as well, the resources available to MLS, the player salaries, the access that they have to a certain level of player was not quite the case 20 years ago. And so now MLS is in a better place where they can make better decisions in terms of player acquisition. And Liga MX for the longest time has been kind of like, yeah, MLS is nice, but they're not good enough to compete with us. And for the longest time, they just kind of looked down upon MLS in terms of the level of play. But now that you see a team that in the final, not only did they win, not only did they beat Pumas, but they deserved to do so. There was nothing fortunate or lucky about this. It was a dominant performance. Then I think it sends a very clear message to Liga MX and Mexican teams that MLS is trending in the correct direction. And then overall, in terms of what it means for both leagues, is that whatever you may think of the importance of the Club World Cup, there's never been an MLS team representing the league. Yeah. There's never been an MLS presence in that tournament. And it's always been Liga MX. It's always been the Mexican teams. And so now there is, yes, MLS team that will make an appearance in this competition and will provide yet another platform from which MLS can showcase its product. A platform that they haven't had before, an opportunity that they haven't had before, and now it puts MLS and the Seattle Sounders in a different stage altogether. I think it's a great moment for Major League Soccer, and it's one that they're going to rally around, and they're certainly going to make sure that they make a big deal out of it, because I do think that in MLS headquarters, they look at this as, yes, that turning point, that inflection point, this is what we needed, and this is where, from here on out, we continue to take steps forward.
Yeah, of course, they'll pin it, this, to the Club World Cup, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, you have to give all the credit to the head office at MLS. You know, the fact is that previously, the Mexican sides would have a player whose budget for him alone would be more than the MLS teams. But the way the league have grown, the league, the way that they now have teams who can go and buy better players. Mm. And so now, what we saw the other night was a level playing field. This wasn't 10 years ago where the Mexican sides had three or four difference makers,
right,
to MLS maybe had a major signing. Now MLS has three or four difference makers. And so, no question, MLS is getting better. Yes, I would say Liga MX has dropped down a peg or two. But I'll tell you what, as Ali said, the perception, the fact that MLS will be in that World Club Championship is going to change everybody's perception around the world.
Gents, as always, so thank you very much. A lot more reaction to this, of course, on the latest edition of Football Americas, which is available now on ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Del Piero's back, as is Mario Stevie as well, answering your tweets.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Stevie Nicol with me here in the studio. We also welcome Mario Malchiot and Alessandro Del Piero with us. Boys, you were trying to organise a pickup game. Ali, you invited Mario to a match today. And Mario, you were scared. What was the problem?
No, man, look. If Ali was still playing, I would not come because I know what he was like. But now I'll turn up, but not this game.
No. Ali, how many minutes you put in, Mr. Del Piero?
What? I don't hear you.
It's good start. Good start. How many minutes do you play?
How minutes? Well, I'm the coach of the club, the team, so I play as much as I want.
Yes. Sub on, get the applause, and then sub off again, isn't it?
Yeah,
2 minutes glory from Del Piero, and that's it. Any other famous players play for you, Ali, that we may know?
No, it's a secret now. We're still working on.
Would Mario even get anywhere near the team?
Let me hire him first, and then we see you on the next one.
Yes, see how
then
it goes.
We see. Right. You know, you already beat me one time when I was at Ajax, so I'm a little bit careful with him.
Okay, let's. What's that poster behind you, Mario? Over your right shoulder.
Aye. That was the time when he beat me. Actually, you know, like that's like my junior time when I was at Ajax. So I have to be careful with Ali. I might have some things to remember to bring up again.
Yeah, bad memories, of course, Juventus beating Ajax in that final. Right, let's get on with it. Stevie, has Klopp started a psychological battle with Madrid by trying to convince everyone that Madrid is the favourites for the Champions League? As a player, did you care what your manager said to the media prior to a big match?
Well, I didn't have to care because he never said anything.
Right.
That was just the culture. You don't see anything either way.
So why is Klopp saying this?
Because I think he's just playing with them. Okay. I don't think he means it.
Right.
Listen, anybody that knows anything about football knows that going into this game, Liverpool are favourites.
Yep.
The fact that Real Madrid have got to the final is just beyond belief. And so from a football point of view, everybody will have Liverpool as favourites.
Right.
So, no. He's playing games. He's not serious.
Mario, did you care what a manager said, these sort of things ahead of big matches?
No, it depends. You know, look, if it's my manager, of course, you listen to him different than when the other one is talking. So, I what Greg just said, yeah, of course. I think this is just a moment of the mind games, you call it. But he responded to the situation. Of course, you want to take the pressure off the team. And I said it before, I had Liverpool picked as well as one of my favorites. But that doesn't mean, you know, the history for Madrid, that is why they got so far. And that's why we have to respect it.
Can Del Piero tell this generation how good Nedved and David Trezeguet were as players in that great Juventus team?
Well, it's what can I say? I mean, we're talking about one of the best scorer ever in a goal area. Trezeguet was absolutely magic. Everything that was coming in the goal area was him. I mean, with the head, right foot, left foot, with everything, every part of the body. He scored in every situation. Great coordination, great bomber, for sure. And Pavel Nedved represented, let's say, the modern midfielder that can do everything. He can run like a defending midfielder. He can assist like a great number 10. And he can score a lot of goals as well because he can shoot from outside. A lot of energy, a lot of pressure for the game. I mean, I think it's enough to describe these two incredible players.
Mario, since you've made the transition from Ajax to Chelsea, how do you feel Tuchel has used Ziyech so far? He's still the top assist getter in the Eredivisie and shined in a back four earlier this year.
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, look, Ziyech, you know, about his ability and his quality, I never had any doubts about it. The only thing that Tuchel changed, of course, the energy levels, what is expected from him when he plays for Chelsea. Because in Holland, it's technical and tactical, but when you come to England, the speed of the game is totally different. And I think Ziyech picked up his game. He learned how to fight back and battle a little bit harder than what he was doing at Ajax. So I think definitely Tuchel brought it into him. And he also knew, if I don't fight 90 minutes long, I will not play for Tuchel. So I think he put that in his game.
Oh, what a question this is. For Alessandro, which of your Champions League semi-final triumphs do you remember most fondly? The hat-trick against Monaco in 98 or beating the Real Madrid Galacticos in 2003?
Well, to be honest, both were amazing. The first one, of course, because I scored 3 goals and I scored 1 in Monaco. So for me, scoring 4 goals in the semi-final is quite a bit achievement, you know? But yes, against the Galacticos, I mean, losing in Madrid first and come back with an amazing game at home, winning 3-1 was absolutely magic that night.
Shall I ask a Dan Thomas question now, Alessandro?
Oh, no. Don't banish yourself.
Which of the 3 finals that you lost hurt the most?
Oh, God.
I don't see that question in the Twitter account. Sorry.
Good response, though.
TJ, Stevie, will it be an injustice if Liverpool beat Real Madrid in the final, as they haven't faced any good teams to get there? Madrid have had to beat the French champions, Champions League holders, and the current English champions so far.
I don't know. Listen, you can't. You get who you get.
Right.
Sometimes you get a bit of luck, and sometimes you don't. And that seems a little strange to say that Real Madrid have been unlucky with the draws they've had.
Yep.
Considering how they've won these games. So, no, it won't be an injustice. If Liverpool win, which I believe they will,
right,
then they've played some absolutely fantastic football all the way through the competition, regardless of the opposition, and that's all you can do.
Right.
And if you do it one more time against Madrid, then they'll absolutely deserve it. There'll be no injustice at all.
Mr. Del Piero, tell us more about Carlo Ancelotti. How does he keep the players on the bench happy as well?
I mean, it's his personality and his way to talk to the players. He tried to help everybody. He tried to improve everybody. It doesn't matter if you play 1 game or 100 games with him. You know, he have the same level of respect to everyone. Everyone feel important with him. So you want to do our best for a coach that treats you like this, you know? And then, as a professional football player, you understand that sometimes you deserve to play, sometimes not, maybe, but sometimes somebody is better than you. So, but he's very honest with everybody. That's his, I think, one of his best qualities.
That's the thing, Mario. He seems to be loved by everybody.
Yeah, but that's also the reason why, you know, when he was at Chelsea, this was one of the key things where the guys were talking about. Everybody wants to play for him, you know? Like, I mean, Ali knows him, of course, personally. I only have seen him in action from distance. But just everybody talked about him. They loved him. And you could see also the way, like, you know, when a player doesn't play and he still is in his arms and he still wants to hug him, that says something about the coach, because normally we are very competitive. If you don't pick us, we don't like you. But they still like it.
Yeah. You know, that I just what Mario said at the end, that is just as important. Because the one thing you don't want is the sour grapes gang, the people that don't play. And so when you're that respectful to everybody,
right,
and everybody feels that you're honest and truthful with them, it actually, not only does it show itself on the field, but when Angelotti's given bad news to somebody that they're not playing, they actually accept it the proper way and the right way,
right,
and don't go complaining and moaning and making it worse for everybody else. So not only does he know what he's doing on the field, but just that ability to deliver bad news but yet still keep the respect from a guy is huge.
Why aren't there more coaches like that?
I have no idea. You're starting to talk about egos and,
right,
you know, again, we're talking about Angelotti most of the week, saying how it's all about the players.
Yes.
Well, we could name a few that it's all about them.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, I guess I can only speak for me, but I would hate my manager to have everything about him. I mean, that's just not right.
Right. Final question. Good to have you back, Dan. Wonderful to be back. Thank you very much. Would any of you get into the current...
Where were you?
Eh?
Were you away?
I was away. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Away, Stevie. Yes. Would any of you get into the current Rangers team? Wow. Let's start with Mario. I saw on your Instagram you running along the beach. Oh, what a moment for us all.
Oh, man. You gotta take care of yourself, Dan. I'm so sorry, man. Look, I've worked hard to at least see a beach because in Holland, I could not do it. It was too cold. So that's why. But going back to that question, look, if you ask me now, no, I could not get in that team. But back in the day, I had a moment when they came after me where Dick Advocaat was the coach and he asked me if I wanted to join him. And look, I was at the time in the Premier League, so I enjoyed myself, so I didn't make that journey over. But I played against them, and you know, of course, I mean, the Rangers is always going to be a good team. It's always, but the only thing is Celtic and Rangers. I don't know if I could keep up with that, if I could just compete and always be one of the top two.
Ali, were you ever tempted to move to Scotland?
What's for me?
He's like, oh, we're Scotland. We're Scotland.
Hey, deep fried Mars bars. That's good. That's right. Yeah. Are you excited about the final, Stevie?
Yes and no.
Why?
Well, because I'm a little scared they'll get beat.
Really?
Yeah. It's the same as shame, aye.
Right.
Well, you know, the Rangers side right now, it's all about closing the ball down and energy and hustle and all that. You know, they don't. Listen, because of the financial situation, they can't go and get...
All right, yes, Stevie, yeah, good. Right, thank you very much. That brings us to the end of today's show.
Oh, sorry.
More from Rangers TV tomorrow.
Good to have you back. I don't think so. Said you.
Who's playing tomorrow? Liverpool Spurs tomorrow, Stevie.
Oh, don't talk to me now.
Who are Rangers playing?